In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to ask you to think for a moment. What would you do if you were unexpectedly given some money? I'll qualify that by saying that there are no strings attached, it's perfectly legal, and it's assuming that there's no COVID. Well, the answer to the question probably depends on how much money it is. If it's, say, £1,000, well, you may go on holiday. You might buy a few things, maybe things for the garden, a golf club or two, or clearly lots of bike bits. If it's £10,000, it might be a new car. If it's £500,000, you might look at a new house. It's obvious, but the more you have, the more you can do with the money you have. If you decided that you didn't want to spend the money and sought some financial guidance, as an investment, you're unlikely to bury the money to keep it safe, and most likely will see it as an opportunity. But what if the money you were given was an enormous amount of money that you're allowed to use on behalf of someone else? Well, that makes it considerably more challenging. Would it indeed allow you to love dangerously? Because to make sense of the parable for today, the one with 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold and 1 bag of gold, we need to realise that each bag of gold was equivalent to about 20 years' wages for a labourer. Or let's say roughly in today's terms, about £500,000. So the man in the story who is going away and leaving the bags of gold for those servants who have been helping him is leaving behind about £4 million. Different bags of gold for the servants to look after while he's away. It's a considerable sum of money. But before we think about what sort of portfolio we'd have, we mustn't lose sight that this is a parable. We're not just talking about money or indeed spiritual ability, but salvation and what we do with our faith. Faith and salvation, which are of immense value. It is about being good and faithful servants. It is about what we do whilst Jesus is away, so that we can share in our Master's happiness when he returns. The first thing to remember is we do not need to compare ourselves with others and what they achieve. We're all made in God's image and need to respond in loving service, as God would have each of us do, based on who we are. It's based on who we are, and it's specific to each one of us. And if we listen carefully, it's clear that the bags of gold in the gospel are given to each according to their ability. So this is all about what I can do with what God has entrusted to me. It's not about someone else, it's not a competition, but personal servanthood. Or put it another way, what can you do where God has positioned you at the moment? What Luke would say to us is, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more, much, much more will be asked. Clearly, this is a great responsibility. But more importantly, it's also a privilege and opportunity. It's vital that we see responsibility this way, so that we're not deterred from working for our Lord, but encouraged to labour for the kingdom of God. Bear in mind that we can never do too much, and we alone can do what we can do. And if you think that you can't do a lot of practical things, remember the massive importance of praying for others. But why would we persevere at this? I mean, don't we have a little bit of sympathy for the one who didn't know what to do with all that money? Well, even though it seems to have fallen out of fashion, we need to talk of a day of reckoning. I'm not saying that we should do that in what you might call a Welsh chapel style. But if people are unaware of the consequences of not following Christ, we would call that sin. If indeed people don't think that there are any, it's as if faith is lift music. It flows over you and is gone. It is unmemorable. It is not deep and lasting. It is like having a lukewarm cup of tea when you've been outside on a cold day. And the thing is, we're all called individually to show what difference a vibrant faith makes in our lives. Or to put it another way, to love dangerously, in fact. In the parable, after a long time, the master returns to settle accounts. The good and faithful servants are rewarded, whereas the other one is thrown outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and a gnashing of teeth. They're simply in anguish about what has been lost. But before this sounds less than inspiring for a November's day, we need to remember that there is no way that Jesus is a hard master. True faithfulness and real service come not from fear, but from love. Only love helps us to give of ourselves diligently, faithfully, and sacrificially. When this is so, our great delight is to please God by serving God. And deep down, we all instinctively know what God has called us to be and wants us to do. When we acknowledge that to ourselves, our great reward is that God is pleased and glorified. Jesus said, "Unbelievers have already judged themselves." Or as he put it, "People love darkness rather than light." So what will we do with what God has entrusted to us? How should we serve? And bear in mind, this is out of love and not duty. C.S. Lewis, in the book The Four Loves, said Jesus' final message in the parable is to step out, to risk, surrender yourself to the cause again and again. Or to put it another way, to love dangerously. And whatever that might mean in our lives, is it something we're prepared to do for the one that died for us, so we and others could have life in its fullest? Amen.